music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We're very happy to welcome American rock band All Time Low to the show, talking about their sixth album called Future Hearts, which debuted at number one in the U.S. They've also appeared on Jimmy Kimmel and The Tonight Show. Scottish recording artist Rachel Sermani talks about her new album, Tied to the Moon, and what it's been like to travel so much to other countries with her music. We wrap things up with Toronto-based singer-songwriter Leslie Pike and her new release called November, and sharing the stage with Jason Mraz. Looking forward to chatting with our next guest, Alex Gasgarth. He is the lead singer of American rock band All Time Low, who've released their sixth studio album this year called Future Hearts. The album debuted at number one in the US and the UK, and the band have sold millions of discs worldwide, not to mention performing on shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live and The Tonight Show. Alex, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Alex, how did you guys actually form the band back in the early 2000s?
We were really just a bunch of punk kids in high school, and we were bored, and we had kind of given up on playing sports. We decided that wasn't the route we wanted to take, and we'd also kind of given up on academics as well. So there wasn't much left to do after that besides trying out music. So Jack and I, who met first, both played guitar and would sort of get together and jam. And gradually through high school, we met Ryan, our drummer, and Zach, our bass player. And we sort of just all had the same set of interests and the same goals, and we liked the same bands. And it sort of just all rolled from there. You know, we started playing covers, and then we started realizing that in order to actually be taken seriously, we needed some of our own songs. So that was sort of the next step, and we wrote some songs. And by our senior year of high school, we kind of had something a little bit more serious going. And we got signed from there, and it's been a crazy ride ever since.
Did you guys know fairly quickly that you had something special, like that you had this chemistry? I know you were friends, but did you feel like maybe this could go as a career?
That's really tough to say. You know, I think we knew that the four of us together had something special. You know, I think beyond even the music, I think there was something special about the friendship, about the chemistry between the four of us. And you know, I think the beauty of that was that we had something, and we knew we were onto something, and then we really just had to perfect the music from there. So it was really, you know, we've kind of been growing up ever since. And, you know, I think we're almost good now.
Awesome. How would you describe your sound? Because I know that you sort of get the blanket statement of American rock band, but if you could sit there and describe it in a couple of words, what would you say about your band?
Oh, man, it's really tough to describe to people, because I think we sort of, you know, some people have called it pop punk because that's sort of the world that we came out of, I guess. But, you know, I sort of feel like it's one part rock. It's got a lot of pop sensibility to it. There's some punk attitude in there. But, you know, we've tried a lot of different things, you know, and being that it's been such a long time to develop our sound, it's we've come up with some pretty eclectic stuff, I think, and just kind of all over the place. And we've gotten to try a lot of things, which I think has helped in making us the band we are now.
Who would you say, whether it's a band or an artist, have, you know, influenced you the most and on some level have potentially seeped into your music?
You know, a big one for me would have to be the Foo Fighters. I think they're another band that, you know, I was a huge Nirvana fan when I was a kid and growing up, and Nirvana and Green Day were sort of the two bands that really got me into rock music. And, you know, then the Foo Fighters, what Dave Grohl did with the Foo Fighters was so, again, like I said, so eclectic and sort of all over the place. And you could tell that he had a lot of different interests. And you know, at the core of it, it was rock and roll. But they were always trying different things. And each record sounded very different as they went on. So I feel like we took a lot of notes from them.
Joining us on the show is lead singer of All Time Low, Alex Gasgarth. Make sure to check out their website, alltimelow.com. What challenges do you face as the lead singer of the band, Alex?
Challenges. I mean, I guess, you know, there's a little bit of pressure and to deliver, you know, trying to live up to being a great front man. There's a lot of great front men out there. So, you know, I try to do my best to sort of have the crowd in the palm of my hand, so to speak. And to really, you know, put all of me out there on stage. I'm also the songwriter for the most part. So, I think that would probably be the biggest pressure, I guess, that falls on my shoulders is when it comes to making new music and making an album. it kind of starts with me and then works out to the other guys. So I have to sort of, I'm responsible for writing songs that the other guys don't hate. that's the pressure that falls on me the most, I guess.
Speaking of the writing aspect of it, you know, your latest album is called Future Hearts. Did it come together quickly, or was it a long road in getting it written and recorded, seeing as how a lot of it with regards to the writing falls onto you?
You know, when it was all said and done, the record process itself was pretty quick. I think by the time we actually picked a producer, John Feldman, and got in the studio, it probably took about a month and a half, 2 months to get it all recorded, which, you know, that's not really that long in the scope of things. But we kind of wrote the record over the course of about a year and a half, I'd say. We tour so much as a band, so a big part of us making a record is finding the time between tours to actually shift gears and get creative again and start thinking about, you know, what we have to write about. So that was a big focus on the last record, of making the time to write great songs and pick which ones we're going to actually make the album.
Do you have, you know, a specific theme or message for Future Hearts that you're trying to get across to your fans? Or is it really, you know, a collection of songs that just happen to fall under Future Hearts?
No, it definitely has. There's for sure a loose concept on the album. And it's really about looking back on the days that we were growing up as a local band and as a band touring in our van. And, you know, the first times we went to new places. There's a lot of that explored on the record and kind of revisiting sounds that we had visited in the past, but in a new way and putting a new spin on it. And kind of that's the overarching theme, I guess, is this idea of looking back, but moving forward with what we've learned in mind, I guess, and keeping your eye on the horizon.
Now, you mentioned that you guys tour a lot. Do you miss home, or is home really on the road these days? Like, would you even know what home is if you had it?
We definitely know what home is. You know, we all have our places and you know, originally we're from Baltimore, which is a pretty small city in relation to a lot of, you know, the bigger cities in the States. And so, it's got a very homey feel to it every time we're off the road. And it's really nice to get back and sort of, take time to be normal, I guess, because there's nothing normal about living 300 days of the year on the road. But at the same time, you know, I think we've done a good job of growing into this life and making the best of what we have on the road, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that we have each other. We're, like I said before, we're very much a family in this band, and even down to our crew. We really get close with everybody that we work with, and so it becomes sort of a support system while we're out on the road, and it makes going home that much sweeter, because you sort of have these two families that are separate entities, which is really nice to have.
Now, if I've done my math correctly, I'm assuming most of you guys are in your mid-20s or so. Is it hard to have relationships because you're on the road so much? Like, again, I know you mentioned you have, you know, the second family, but is it hard to sort of spread your wings and create your own family, if you will?
That's a good question. No, I don't think so. You know, I think when we were growing up, maybe a little more so. I think, you know, when we were in our teens and you know, early 20s, I think you do a lot of figuring out in those years and a lot of growing. But, you know, I'm recently engaged to a girl who I've known for many, many years. So it hasn't been too hard for me to you know, make it work on you know, both sides of the coin,
now,
so to speak.
That's awesome. Now, when you are on the road, do you have, you know, a couple of items that you've got to have from home to sort of make things be all right when you're out and about? Like, I know I've interviewed a couple of artists, and some of them, it's just them wanting to have their own bed sheets with them.
Yeah, you know, there's lots of things that kind of make it a little more comfortable on the road. I mean, yeah, we have guys that bring out their own pillows and their own sheets and stuff for the bus. That's definitely not unheard of. A big thing for me is just making sure we have access to, you know, like the music we love and the things we love to do. You know, we have a lot, we watch a lot of movies, you listen to a lot of music. We actually, funnily enough, we have taken up recreational beer pong and flip cup during show days, that sort of like anyone on the tour gets involved with. So that's a good time killer, as long as it's done responsibly. If we're talking about before the show, because you don't want to go out there blackout.
No, I'm sure not. Is there a band or an artist right now that you would either love to be on tour with or love to collaborate with?
Oh, so many. There are so many good bands out there right now, and artists as well, doing really amazing things and changing the face of music right now. I think music's in a really exciting place again, where there's a lot of new artists popping up, and many of them seem to be helping to shape the next generation of sound. So, I mean, you know, artists like Halsey, 21 Pilots come to mind. Sia is a great pop artist and a great writer. You know, obviously for me, a throwback would be working with Dave Grohl would be incredible. And one that happened on this newest record, Future Hearts, that was a long time coming, was we worked with Mark Hoppus on one of the songs called Tidal Wave. And, you know, I sort of grew up listening to Blink, and they played a big role in the way we carry ourselves as a band, which is having a great time and really enjoying what we're doing and not taking ourselves too seriously. And so, you know, to work with Mark on that song was a big honor.
Now, you guys have a lot of support on social media. I was noticing specifically on your Twitter account, you have like over 1 million followers. How important is it for you, Alex, and for the rest of the band to communicate directly with your fans? And what does it mean when you get these messages, you know, from them?
You know, the thing I always say is that when I look back, as when I was a younger fan of music and before the band, I think about how amazing it would have been if I could have had access to my favorite artists. You know, and like immediate access, you know, and I think social media has sort of turned into this amazing resource for us to be able to not only instantaneously release our music on a worldwide scale very quickly, but also to reach out and interact with the fan base. As you said, like, I think it makes a massive difference to be able to sort of get a direct line to what your audience wants and what they're feeling and what they're enjoying and what else they're listening to and who they want to see you on tour with, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think it's made our careers that much greater because we can really cater to what our fans want, which is awesome.
Now, when it comes to the next little while, like, I know the album was out this year and you're touring quite a bit. Where do you hope to see the band within like the next 12 months or so? Have you guys set specific goals for what you want to accomplish?
I think we're always kind of game planning for the next thing. You know, we're still sort of in the middle of this new record cycle. So I think this album has a lot of legs on it. It's certainly the biggest record that we've put out to date, but with our old fans and with new fans. So it's helped grow the band tremendously. So I think we'd be, you know, doing ourselves a disservice if we rushed through it too quickly. But with that said, I think, you know, we have a lot of tours coming up. You know, obviously we're coming up to Canada, which is going to be amazing. And we have a U.S. tour shortly after that. And we already have plans for next year to go back to the U.K. and probably back to Canada and kind of do it all over again in a different form and continue to play deeper and deeper into the record and old records and sort of explore our catalog. You know, we have 6 albums, which is a lot for a band of our age. So it's a lot of material to get through. So we're really just trying to figure out creative ways to get in front of more and more people and play those songs and sort of pull them into the fold. You know, it's not All Time Low, I don't think, is one of those casual bands that you listen to one song and you're out. You know, I think for a lot of our fans, it's sort of something that they're really heavily invested in and heavily involved in, and it's about the catalog. So we really want to put an emphasis on sharing that with people and sharing the story of this band that, you know, we've been at it for almost 12 years.
Well, Alex, we wish you the best of luck, and you are welcome back on our show anytime.
Hey, thank you so much. This is awesome.
That's lead singer of All Time Low, Alex Gaskarth. Again, make sure to check out their website, alltimelow.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Alex from the band All Time Low, and you're listening to The Kelly Alexander Show. I woke up in a stranger's bed with pins and needles in my head and the clock ticking off the wall. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I don't even know myself. I wish I could be someone else, but I don't have a clue at all. Oh yeah. I'm sinking. You're waiting. I'm thinking.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
This next artist hails from Scotland, and even though she's not yet 25, she's traveled extensively with her music playing all over Scotland and various parts of the UK, as well as countries like Australia, Iceland, the US, and Canada. Rachel Sermani has a new album ready to go called Tied to the Moon, and we're happy to welcome her to the Kelly Alexander Show. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Thank you so much for making time for us today. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So I wanted to ask you, growing up, was music always an important part in your household?
Yeah, there were always musical instruments around. My parents were big appreciators of music, and they had good ears, I think. They weren't quite called them musicians, but I can tell now, having become a musician, that I realized that my family, all of them, have quite a good sense of music, good sense of harmony and melody, so... And it was always there, whether it was appreciation or just sort of like underlying knowledge, I don't know. And also in the school that I was brought up in, there was a lot of traditional music that you were encouraged to learn about. So, yeah, there was lots of music.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you've traveled to, your fair share of countries with your music. And I'm wondering if, as you have traveled, across the world, if we can say that, if you've noticed... Mm-hmm. that your Scottish background has played a significant part in who you are as an artist?
Certainly it gives you a lot of opportunities, and there's good and there's bad things of having such a sort of strong identity and coming from such a strong cultural background, because I'm not in any way a traditional musician, but it's certainly interesting how certain people, when they hear that you're from Scotland, will hear those elements for sure. But certainly when I come to places like Canada, people are extremely welcoming, and I think that's possibly to do with the fact that there's a heritage there that people are connected to and that they want to remain connected to. So I experienced a lot of good fortune probably because of where I'm from. In terms of the music, I think what I play isn't Scottish. It's reasonably eclectic in terms of its influences, but I think that if you look closely into the music of Scotland right now, that's the way it is. There's just so much music of all sorts going on.
How is the music scene over there in the grand scheme? Because, we hear a lot, about London, about obviously New York and Los Angeles and here in Canada.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Montreal and Vancouver and Toronto. But, I don't often hear of, the Scottish music scene. So what is sort of happening over there these days?
Cool. That's interesting because, well, I mean, I can understand they're the big cities, all those that you mentioned. But for me, a brilliant base if you were to be in the UK, and if you didn't want the madness of London, and you were a musician. I mean, there's plenty of other places to go, plenty of other places to study or play. But Glasgow is a brilliant, thriving city and has an amazing music scene. All the pubs are filled with traditional music, and then there's a whole load of brilliant jazz musicians there, brilliant jazz jams, and really good bands. So many good bands that sort of range from I don't even know where to begin with the range. But Glasgow's the place to be in terms of if you're in Scotland. I think that's the musical hub.
Now, so many people that I interview over here in Canada, like Canadian musicians, we often have the discussion of, are they going to stay in Canada or are they going to go to the States to keep trying to get to the next level? Mm-hmm. Even though Canada does have a really great music scene, do you have a need or desire to either go to the U.S. or move somewhere else for your music to keep growing?
Well, I mean, I get the urge to move to every place I land, it seems. Because I go there and I find a great community of people, and I've not yet cracked the U.S. So I guess, and I think in order to crack the U.S., you probably do have to be there a little bit more on a permanent basis, for a year or so, if you're going to really succeed with that, even on a small scale level. So I think next year I would like to spend some time in somewhere like feel a little bit of a tug towards Boston and New York, those places. But I also really, really like it here in Canada. There's just lots of places. I spent a month in Berlin in Germany in April, and that also is an amazing hub. So there's lots of places to go, and you realize there's a lot of sort of communities to crack. You just got to take it slow. So at the moment, I just tour so much that I don't even live in a place full time anyway. So
joining us on the show is Scottish recording artist Rachel Sermani. Make sure to check out her website, rachelsermani.net. Rachel, how would you describe your sound? Because in doing research, you know, about you and your music, everyone keeps saying folk artist. Are you comfortable with that title?
I'm comfortable with whatever anybody sort of hears, but certainly the new album, there's definitely folk there, but there's also, it's a rock band setup in a lot of the songs, so there's a slight change in direction, I guess.
Talk to us about the new album, Tied to the Moon. Where did the inspiration come from, and why did you go with that title?
Okay, well, Tied to the Moon, the title, I got from a song which I had written that actually ended up not being featured on the album, which is funny, but Tied to the Moon, I guess I like the idea. It's a lot of symbols of a woman in it, but also I felt it was, I was really obsessed with the symbol of the moth, of kind of like striving towards light, but in darkness. And I think that that's a nice image, and certainly kind of falls into place with the songs as well, with the new songs that are on the album. And I wrote about 4 or 5 of the core songs on the album whilst here, actually. I'm in Nova Scotia just now, and I wrote them in a little apartment that I was able to go to and have a little bit of a secluded time. It was owned by old man Ludica, and he let me stay there, and I wrote about 7 songs there, and it was there, that was last year, March last year, I kind of realised I had enough songs and a kind of cohesive running theme of sound that would make an okay album. And so I emailed my friends back home in Scotland, and by the time I was back, we were ready to demo up things, and I recorded it on an island in the north of Scotland with my friend Colin producing, and a really brilliant band. And we just recorded in his parents' house, and it was very sort of lo-fi in lots of ways, and that's kind of how I wanted it.
How did you actually decide on Tractor being the lead single? Because I always know it must be such a, you know, a nail biter to figure out which one you're going to go with as the lead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, long time since I've written a song that's like almost 3 minutes long only. And so it kind of seemed like a contender in terms of like simply the things that radio look for is a good sort of about 3 minutes worth of airtime. And so there was that, but then I also thought it would be just far too offensive. There's like a reasonably horrible guitar solo right in the center of the song, and I'm really impressed and happy that people have embraced it like they have as the single, because it doesn't make an easy listen, I don't think, in some respects. It's really fun, but I remember my dad being, he likes it now, but it took him a while to get used to this wrenching guitar right in the middle, but I quite enjoy quite how noisy it is.
Is it easy for you to replicate that solo live? Because you're right, it is sort of out of left field when you're listening to the single.
Yeah, well, I've not really kind of replicated the noises of the album in full, except from once when I had the full band in London. When I tour over Canada this month, I'll be with my friend Tom Sorrell. He'll be playing the drums and the guitar, and we've got some cool effects for sure. But I don't think it will get quite as raucous. There's only 2 of us. Yeah.
Hanging out with us on the show is Scottish folk artist Rachel Sermani. Again, check out her website, rachelsermani.net. You have to explain to us your meeting with Mumford & Sons and what actually came from that.
Okay, well, that was about, I think that was, we're nearing like 5 years ago, I first met those guys at a tiny festival up in the north of Scotland called Ullapo. And it was a chance sort of encounter. It's a very small festival, so you kind of, once you're there, everybody's friends. And me and my friend Owen, we basically sort of sought them out whilst they were playing in a pub on the main street. And it was late on, and we asked them if they would like to have a jam, and we ended up on the beach, and we jammed there And from there, it was quite a pivotal time. I just left school and I went down to Glasgow to make friends and play as many open mic nights as I could. Almost this moment, this simultaneous time, I met them and was invited down to London to record my first sort of cover demo and experience my first kind of, it was like a wake-up call in terms of realizing how much music there is and how much you need to push yourself and how much you need to know yourself in order to sort of create what you want to create. And so I had a really amazing time and a huge learning curve thanks to that encounter and basically being invited down. And I recorded with the pianist Mumford called Ben.
Now, you already have a lot of miles under your belt, I would say, with regards to traveling and playing your music, but you're still obviously quite young. So I'm sure you even sort of know, like, there's still a lot to learn. If you could actually sit down to dinner with a recording artist today to sort of pick their brain, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel on the spot, though. Let's think. I think I would love to sit down with someone who was in a field that I knew nothing about, whether it was sort of like instrumental, ambient electronic music, someone like Sigur Rós, or I would love to sit in on a studio recording. Like, that would be a dream, to sit in with someone like Bjork and to realize all the different things they do to create the sounds that they create. I think an apprenticeship of that sort to learn about the electronic and technological side and how natural it can become if you come to know it more would be a really cool thing. So probably Bjork. I would sit down with her.
That's awesome. Make sure you ask her about that duck that she had around her neck from a few years ago.
Oh, I will do.
And before I let you go, Rachel, I wanted to ask you this. You know, I'm fortunate to interview a fair amount of Canadian artists, you know, talking about their sort of travels across Canada. And then if some of them have been lucky to head overseas, a lot of them have very romantic notions about Europe. But now that I get to speak to someone who's actually from overseas, you know, who's traveled in Canada, what's your thoughts of Canada? How do you actually feel about it? Does it hold a special place in your heart, both musically and just as a country, as a culture?
Yeah, Canada has a really interesting and special place in my heart, and I realize every time I come here that it does. I did a tour with Ron Sexsmith back in the UK about 4 years ago, and it was then that I first was like, I have a feeling I might like Canada, because these guys were just so nice, and we seem to get on really well, and I'm friends with those guys. And when I came over about 2 years later for Folk Alliance, and after that, I spent about 60 days of my whole year, I think more actually, in Canada, which is more than I spent in my own home. There's just something about the place I really, really love. And people are extremely generous here. And there's a lot of creativity. Certainly here in Halifax, there's lots of just creative people, artists, and fashion designers and jewelers and all sorts, and that's inspiring. And another place that's extremely close to my heart is probably the Yukon, which is far, far away from here, from anywhere, really. But when I went there, I had a really special time. So, yeah.
Rachel, thank you so much for spending time with us, and you're welcome back on the show anytime, and all the best of luck with
the new
album.
Yeah, have a good day.
That is Scottish folk artist Rachel Sermani. Again, check out her new album, Tied to the Moon, and also her website, rachelsermani.net.
Hello, this is Rachel Sermani, and you're hanging out at the Kelly Alexander Show.
You'll never please them. For God's sake, Jesus, have to leave them. All the people you have known will not want to know you've grown. That would scare. We never saw them, but we need. them up, pin them to the wall. All the people condemn. Right before I restlessly lose, when I find one fat face and above. All this living just a lie.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Like us on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show.
Joining us on the show is Canadian singer-songwriter Leslie Pike, who has her roots in the Toronto music scene but has traveled to many places around the world, including New York, Los Angeles, and London, England. She's shared the stage with talented artists like Jason Mraz, Joan Osborne, and Hawksley Worksman, and is here to talk about her new release called November. Leslie, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Why, thank you, Kelly Alexander. Thanks for having me.
I love that you full-named me. That's great.
I went to high school with a girl named Kelly Alexander, so when I first thought, I was like, wait a second. That's a different person.
There's two of us. Oh, man. Okay. So from what I understand, your background didn't really suggest that you would get into all things musical. If I understand things correctly, your parents were in the finance business. So how did you find your way towards music?
I just started singing. I mean, my dad is a serious music lover, you know? He's got a ton of records, and he just kind of always had music on in the car and stuff. And then they're both accountants, but then they kind of just threw, you know, when you're a kid and you know, you went to summer camp and sing songs all summer and church choirs and whatever else. And then school choir, and basically just like anything musical, I just tended to gravitate towards it. And then my parents put all of us into music lessons when we were little. So piano, it started with piano lessons, and the rest of my sisters didn't really love it as much as I did. So I was kind of the one who stuck with it, and they did other things.
And who would be your early musical influences that probably has seeped into the music that you produce today on some level?
On some level, I remember seeing Peter Gabriel's Secret World live tour on a videotape when I was really little. And I was in high school, but that had a big impact on me as far as kind of live performance goes. I also really went through a Ani DiFranco stage, and definitely went through a Sarah McLachlan stage, and then kind of got into Tori Amos. And then there, you know, some classic ones. It's like my dad loves Bonnie Raitt. So I listened to a fair bit of Bonnie Raitt and, Neil Young. Like, just kind of, those are probably some of the main ones.
Okay. And how would you describe yourself as an artist? Like, how would you describe who Leslie Pike is, you know, on tape or on CD and then on stage?
Wow. On paper, I would say I'm a singer-songwriter. On CD, the CD, we found it a little bit hard to kind of describe, even just picking a category for iTunes, because it has a really rootsy feel, but there's not really a roots category. But there's a little bit of Americana in there. It's still relatively poppy. And I still just love, like, I love pop music, you know? I love folk music that tells stories, and I love the kind of hookiness of pop music. So it's somewhere in between those. And then on stage, I really am just a chatty, usually relatively funny, and very in the moment person, you know? So shows are always really different. And that's my favorite part of the whole thing, is just like being on stage and interacting with people and kind of going with the flow and having fun with it. So
you're from Ontario, and you've made a name for yourself in the Toronto music scene. How would you describe, you know, Toronto's influence on you and your sound?
I think that Canadian music has a real kind of genuine, and I don't know what I would, maybe like a really kind of rootsy, honest quality to it that I really like. And I think that that's probably been a big influence on me. And then there's just so many great writers and performers, especially in Toronto. And the writers that I worked with on White Lies, that was actually the first time I collaborated on writing with anybody. And it was just that everyone's so genuine and so down to earth and so friendly, and I find it to be really supportive, which is really, really nice. And I think that probably, I don't know, it's a good community feeling in Toronto, in kind of the music circles anyway, then I really, really like that. And I trust people in Toronto, and I like that too. So I think it's in songwriting, the same thing comes through, you know, I don't find it difficult to just say how I feel without trying to manipulate it in any way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a Canadian thing, but I'm going to guess it probably has something to do with it.
What other cities in your travels have become close to your heart? Because it seems like everyone's always got like another place that even though, you know, there might be from Montreal or Toronto, like where's your other place?
Well, right now I would actually say it's probably Ireland. Just because I've spent a lot of time there recently and like in the last year and a half or so. And before that, like I love Los Angeles so much. So I don't know if it's the climate or the people. I have really, really wonderful friends in Los Angeles. So my experience is there. I've lived there. I recorded an album there once. I've lived there for extended periods of time, kind of off and on. And it's every time I'm there, I just feel immediately like, good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that probably that's my second one if I was gonna pick.
Now, I know that as a musician, you know, you usually constantly have to travel. I actually just interviewed a Scottish artist yesterday, Rachel Sermani, and she's sort of all over the place. And she says she doesn't really have a home in a way. Obviously, you know, her home country is Scotland, but she loves Halifax quite a bit. Have you ever had... Yeah, she's like into that Halifax scene. Have you had the pull to sort of maybe stay in LA or stay in Europe? Like, are you happy to sort of be that gypsy?
I've been a gypsy for quite a while now, so I am feeling the pull to sit still a little bit somewhere. And I think there was a good 2 years where I was basically just jumping between Toronto, London, and Los Angeles. And about a year and a half ago was when I kind of stopped doing that as much, although I'm still between Toronto, Ireland, and London a lot. But yeah, I really love Toronto, and you know a lot of my friends are here too, so mm-hmm. that's a big factor. But yeah, the gypsy lifestyle is wonderful and exciting, and it's everything's an adventure, and it's also really exhausting, and you kind of get to a point where you want to feel like you belong somewhere, you know?
Right. Okay.
Joining us. I don't know if I really answered your question.
No, that's
there.
Good.
Probably
that's
not.
Good. I'm always I'm always interested to see where people's heads are at because of what you guys do for a living and the fact that you do have to travel mm-hmm. so much. So I did want to ask you about the first single, White Lies. It is very catchy. We're going to play it on the show. That's for sure. Can you tell us about its conception? And did you know right away you had something with this song?
I don't think we knew right away. I think it was myself and two Toronto songwriters, Emily and Karen Kozowski, and we just decided that we wanted to get together. And we had done, you know, we knew each other already and had done some shows together and stuff, and said, let's just get together and see what happens. I had never written with anybody before. So we just got together in Karen's studio, and literally the song was so simple. And, you know, we're just playing these two chords and singing, and I just said I kind of wanted to write a cheeky song that's about the ways that we lie to ourselves on a regular basis about like all these little things, you know, and when you kind of stop to think about it, it's kind of funny. And so we wanted to make it sound really happy, like almost this kind of oblivious, I'm in denial kind of happy bouncy song. and it just came out really well in the melody, and we had kind of the chorus. And then when I was in Los Angeles working on a different recording, I just one morning just got up and for some reason just wrote the rest of the lyrics on the spot kind of then, and that was it. And it just stuck. I don't think I knew though until I started doing shows with that song, and people, like the first time I did it was in England, and this guy actually just, I had asked, you know, can anyone in the crowd whistle, and this guy who was so hilarious and so charismatic, he, you know, he shot up his hand. And in addition, I thought he was just going to whistle from the audience, but he just like came running up on stage and was absolutely adorable and whistled into the mic, and the crowd loved it and everybody loved it. So it just became that song that everybody whistles along to, and people would always come up on stage and join in, and I would bring people up, and it's just a really fun song to sing along to. And it's quick and easy to learn. So kind of by, you know, halfway through the song, everybody's singing along anyways, whether they meant to or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of sticks in your head. But I like it because it's a nice juxtaposition of you know, the melody to the actual message of the song is just kind of like, oh, you know, and I like that. So, but no, it's just a fun, very summery song.
Joining us on the show is singer-songwriter Leslie Pike. Make sure to check out her website, lesliepike.com. And speaking of your website, by the way, I had to give you mad props because your website is really cool and easy to navigate, so I thought I should tell you that.
Oh, thank you very much. I do it myself.
Good for you.
And yeah, I do. And it's just, it's easy for me as well. It's just a super easy platform. And so it's nice. I like to be able to update stuff whenever I want and kind of post whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I had people doing it in the past, I always had to like send stuff to someone and then it'd go through thing and then it would take a while to get stuff up. And so it's nice to have a little bit of control and just be able to do stuff in the moment, you know?
Talk to us a little
Thank you. That's nice.
No problem. Well, I just, because I'm on so many, you know, artist websites all the time, and you'd be surprised too at some of the big guns have terrible websites. So it's nice to see that someone who doesn't have the resources, let's say of a, you know, an A-list star that's got gajillions of dollars, that your site is like 10 times better than theirs. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
And I also like, you know, because I was reading, you know, the, sort of the about section, and I really like how you described yourself and sort of what, and the latest project, like you were super up to date and it was fascinating because so many times I feel like people just verbally vomit up stuff that doesn't really do anything. So I feel like you're really thoughtful in your writing, whether it's lyrically or, you know, on your website. How much, you know, how important is it to you to write solid tunes and to express yourself properly?
Well, I think it's definitely really important. I tend to have a bit of I don't filter very well. In my day-to-day relationships, probably not that I don't filter, but I tend to be pretty direct. And so I think that probably comes through, but I think it's just important to me to just kind of be honest about whatever it is that I'm trying to say or whatever an experience was or something and actually talk about the actual kind of raw emotion that was involved, whatever that may be,
mm-hmm.
and just go with that instead of kind of overthinking things and whatever. I also try in writing, especially in, you know, just writing stuff online or whatever, to keep some sense of humor about things.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important as well, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're just singing some songs, you know? So, it matters, but it's not like we're not a heart surgeon or anything. We've got to keep it.
I want to talk to you about the new project called November. Why did you choose that name and how would you characterize the new CD?
Well, I chose the name because, well, several reasons. One was that initially the album was supposed to come out in November.
Okay. So
when that didn't happen, I was kind of like, oh, well, this is interesting, you know. But my birthday's in November. There's a song on the album called November, which is one of my favorites on the album. And I just felt like it kind of captures the mood of the whole album a little bit. And Ryan Kelly, who sings on the album, was also born in November. And it just seemed like a theme that kind of ran through a lot of stuff. And for me, November kind of represents the time of the year when things start to get kind of tough, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like the summer is all lovely and fun and bright and sunny. And in the fall is, you know, things are starting to shift a little bit. And November is kind of when it gets to be a little bit bleak. And I feel like that metaphorically, that's kind of the, in terms of relationships and just life experiences, like that's when you see someone's true colors, you know, when things start to get a little bit less optimistic or a little bit less rosy or whatever, you kind of see what people are made of. And that's kind of a theme lyrically throughout the album. And so we just decided to stick with it anyways. And it just seemed to suit. So, and there was nothing else that was really jumping out at me as a title. So I, you know, that was just what I felt like it should be.
And now that it's, you know, here, is the plan to tour like crazy to promote? And what are sort of the main objectives in the next 6 to 8 months?
Yes. Now that it's here in July, we are doing some shows, a couple of album launch shows in August in Ontario. And then I'm actually over in the UK because it comes out early fall in the UK. So I'll be over there for much of September, October. And then full touring to support the album in North America in November. So there, it all comes full circle. November, I will tour November.
That's awesome.
So that's the plan for now. So we're just doing as much as we can. You know, I'm so excited about this record. I've done a couple records and it's taken up until now for me to really feel like I actually made a record that people say this all the time, but truly, like, we had phenomenal players We all played live. Almost all of the album is completely live, which is something I'd always wanted to do. And I think it just captured what I was hoping we could capture. And so that's really exciting for me, where in the past, when we put something out, I would always be like, this is good, you know? But then you kind of have that little bit that wants to say, like, but I think there's something else that I wanted to try, but we didn't, you know, we weren't able to do it or whatever. So this time, it just, everything kind of clicked, and I'm really excited for people to hear it, and really excited to just get out and play the songs and meet new people.
I have to ask you about your connection to Jason Mraz, and I'll start by saying I was fortunate to interview him several years ago, and he was, you know, because I do so many interviews, and sometimes they kind of blend into one, but he is definitely someone mm-hmm. that stood out to me because he just seems really thoughtful and really well-spoken. Yeah. So I just wanted to know, you know, how did your connection to him sort of happen, and what did you take away from him? Because I just feel like he has a lot to impart on other people in a very, like, easy-to-take-in manner.
Yes, he does. And he is very, very, he's careful with his words, which I really like. He and I met very randomly many years ago. He was playing in Hamilton, Ontario. And for some reason, the day before, I had just completely randomly, having never heard of him, I had picked up his first album and in an HMV or something, you know, when people still sold CDs in stores. And anyway, I put it on the car and I thought, this is amazing. And then I went and looked at his website, and it turned out that he was playing the next day in Hamilton. And so I said, what are the chances of that? Because, you know, he's from California. And so I just decided to go. I didn't have a ticket or anything. He was opening for Chantal Kravyatsuk at Hamilton Place. And so I just got in my car and went. And as I walked in the door, I ran into an old friend of mine who I used to work with at Sam the Record Man in Waterloo when I was in university. And he said, and I was like, what are you doing here? And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I just heard about this guy and he's opening. And he's like, oh, I'm working with the guy who's opening. And I was like, what? So anyways, that night we ended up just hanging out, everybody kind of who was there working with him. And then me, the random person who had just turned up. And he invited me out to dinner, I think, after the show. And so we just kind of became friends. And then kept overlapping in various scenarios. And we actually randomly also ran into each other in London, England, when he was recording I'm Yours. And so he invited me into the studio and we bumped into each other at a concert, which was crazy. Because again, I was at this concert, I didn't know anybody there. And I had just gone by myself just to check it out and happened to just be standing next to him in the audience. So it was crazy. And the players, when I went into the studio when he was doing I'm Yours, he had these amazing musicians, and I was just like, this is like my dream, you know? These people are incredible, and they're so vibey, and just so, they just work intuitively, and they work together so well. And fast forward a couple of years, when I went to do my record in London, my producer, unbeknownst to me, had hired the exact same team of people and musicians for my record, and he didn't know that I knew them, and he didn't know about, you know, that I'd been in the studio when Jason was there and had met anybody there or anything. He just thought that they were the right people for the record. So when I walked in, I had a full on like, whoa, you know, everything's come full circle. I almost fell over kind of moment where it's like, you can't believe this is actually happening, that I get to play with these people and whatever. So anyways, to come back to Jason. So he invited me to come and sing with him a few times. And then we've just stayed friends. I think, every time he would come through Toronto, he would say, you know, you want to come out, you want to sing a song. And then it turned into, do you want to like come on the road with us for a bit and sing? And we actually sang, and I did join him in Montreal as well. And that's kind of it. But he is very, very thoughtful in his words. And he's very positive in how he communicates. And he's a phenomenal musician, obviously. He's also really very funny.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. Like very witty. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Very quick.
Well, I think you're fantastic, and we really appreciate you spending time with us on the show, and all the best of luck with the new album.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are quite welcome, and you're welcome back anytime. That is singer-songwriter Leslie Pike. Make sure to check out her website, lesliepike.com.
Hey, this is Leslie Pike, and you're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
The Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We really appreciate you spending time with us on the show this week. And as always, a big thank you going out to my guests. This week, All Time Low, Rachel Sermani and Leslie Pike. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from Eleanor Roosevelt. Never allow a person to tell you no who doesn't have the power to say yes. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter at Kay Alexander Show, on Facebook Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram at Kelly Alexander Show, and of course our YouTube channel, which features our interviews, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. Have an excellent week. You and I'll chat soon.